Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, Sean. Today, we're diving into conversation that every entrepreneur or business leader faces at some point. Here's the question. What do you do when you feel called, but everything around you says give up?
Oh my gosh. Have you ever had one of those seasons where you got a vision, you've got passion, obedience, but the money's not there, Bob? We've seen that. Or the momentum's not there, or you don't have the right team around you, whatever it is. Today's Real Talk is all about staying the course when your career or business hits that wall, which so many of us go through.
Yes, you said, have I ever hit that once? I don't know how many times I've hit that, but like maybe a million. Yeah. Today, we've got a perfect guest for this episode, Steve Smithwick, who's the founder of Masterwall, who knows exactly what it feels like to face the impossible. His story is one of radical obedience, divine provision, and the kind of faith that you just can't manufacture.
And then we've got a real talk and a powerful testament, of course, by Steve. And maybe some real prophetic encouragement just for you. So let's get started right away. Okay, Bob, I put this as the title to our Real Talk today. You ready? It says Faith in the Fire, Building a Business When Everything Says Quit. I don't know. I just was like, what do you do when you're up against a wall? We're going to talk about those seasons when your calling is clear, at least it feels clear, and then the cash isn't, or the timing isn't, or honestly, quitting would make total sense. And you're obeying God, but the math doesn't math up. The math doesn't math. So, man, let's talk about this.
I think it's one of the questions, Sean, that we hear the most is, how do I know when to keep going? How do I know when to give up? And it's a hard question because it's such a personal decision between you and God. You have to really figure out, did I hear God? And should I keep putting one foot in front of the other?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, just living in LA for all those years, 18 years in LA. We just moved away a couple of years ago, and people would be producers, or they'd be making a movie or an entertainment project that has very low likelihood of doing well. I mean, very low, Bob. Like, what, 2% of films make it as far as they monetize? The rest of them don't. Or it's, you do it for the sake of art for the most part. And I would talk to these producers or directors or writers or actors or whoever it is who's doing it for the sake of passion, because even the good ones are only making money every other project or every third project, or not, they're not making the money they want to make. And they would have this inside of them, this like hope against hope and the sense of destiny or purpose that I think a lot of Christians I've met don't have inside of them. They don't have that grit, that tenacity. And so it really grew something inside of me as far as like, if you're going to believe something's God, you're going to have to pay a big price for it over a long period of time before there's fruitfulness. And maybe the fruitfulness is eternal, and it's not about, you know, being the most successful version. Sometimes we get the kind of the self-help side of Christianity, which is like, you will be rich, you will have success, you will have, but they don't give you the process in between the lines.
Right. And I think since social media has been in our world, it really exacerbates the issue that getting rich happens instantly, and it doesn't. And we've talked about this for a long time. In my life, it was almost 35 years before I felt like, okay, we finally have success in our business.
That blows me away.
And it's one step after the other. And you just have to trust God and keep going. For some people, they hit an inflection point where, yes, they are going to run out of cash next week and they've exhausted all their options. And there's a point where it's just not going to work anymore. But for a lot of entrepreneurs and business people, you're just kind of fighting through these cash flow issues. You're fighting through issues with customers. You're fighting through issues with the world. And it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
When I think of, you know, all Christians have an opportunity, that people who are entrepreneurs or career driven are trying to actually have a level of success, we have that added bonus of having that deep relationship with God, who's sending us, who's commissioning us, who's calling us, even into a place that maybe a medical field or into farming or into venture capitalism or whatever it is, or starting a company. Yeah, I love 1 Corinthians, you know, 4:8-9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, struck down, but not destroyed. And if you're listening, you feel hard pressed, that doesn't mean you're done. And I think of this, I was in a meeting one time and we were, you know, praying for people at the front after the, I think I spoke or someone spoke in the meeting, I can't remember. And it was in Central California in kind of the Fresno area. And there was a couple kids there, just like little kids, like 7, 8-year-olds. And this guy was at the altar and he was, you could tell he was really dealing with God. And he was a well-known businessman there. I didn't know him, but the community knew him that we were at the church of. And this little girl walked up to him, whispered in his ear, and he started kind of yelling like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And so I went over and I said, what happened? And he said, I literally just told Jesus I'm throwing the towel on this business. I can't do it anymore. I just cannot do this. And she walked over to me and she said, I just saw Jesus standing next to you. And he picked up a towel and handed it back to you. It's like, even when I'm done, God's not done. Like, he knows how to do it. And he goes, I have faith again. Like, I have faith again. Jesus gave me the towel back. This is his business, not mine. And I feel like that was a good picture for all of us. There's times that we will want to throw in the towel. There's times that, like, human nature, and there's, you know, the people next to us would throw in the towel. They would go bankrupt. They would go through whatever they've gone through. But we have Jesus. We have that secret sauce, or that one special connection that could just mean the tipping point that maybe other people who don't have Jesus can't have, because they don't have that personal relationship.
Exactly. You know, we never know what God's doing. It reminds me of the story of the man on the roof with the flood, and floodwaters are rising, and a helicopter comes, and he says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a boat comes by and he says, nope, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a jet ski comes by and he says, nope, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then as he's drowning, he says, God, why didn't you save me? Yeah. And God, he says, what are you talking about? I sent you all those things to save you. I mean, it's a funny story, but at the end of the day, we never know what God's doing. We have to trust, and we have to see over and over again. And Sean, we recommend people all the time to get in a group of people who will understand what your problems is and pray for you. But we had the at your old church at Expressions 58, there was a group, a business group, where you could come and say, here's what my problem is, and have 7 people around listen to you and give you guidance. And I think when you're facing those type of issues, when you're facing the biggest issues, you need people around you to help speak into your life.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you brought that up, because I think of Minda, who used to work for me, and I love Minda. She is a poet, an author. She started a couple different businesses. She's entrepreneurial. She's from Africa, but now American, and she's just an amazing woman. And Minda went to the entrepreneur group that was connected to us. It wasn't at our church, but it was like directly connected to us. And they were doing a feasibility over like businesses that they were going to like take their God-given talents that they've already done and take it to like 2.0. So she presents this whole business to the group, talks to him about it, and she's been working on it now for months. And the one of the guys who's just further ahead and has had product lines that have launched that are going really well and the whole thing, but has battled through stuff, goes, do you want to actually make money and have success, or do you want to just do this as like a justice project? She goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, this is like the product line you're looking at. There's not even a niche for it. So you're creating a niche, and it's only in the small atmosphere of where you can find people who even care about that. And so that's more of a passion project you do alongside of a major business.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Because that it's not going to be its own business. It's not going to be easy to make that its own business. And you're going to pay a lot more blood doing that. And she had this moment where she's like, that's so true. Why would I work that much harder when all I want to do is actually make money for the kingdom and make a lot of money for the kingdom? Why would I do something that just makes it that much harder just because I have passion for that project? So she went into something that was more neutral for her. It wasn't like the passion project, but was able to do that on the side, wrote several poetry books, the whole thing. And I think that some people who are watching or listening, you might have to quit something that you think is the primary and make it secondary. And that happens a lot. I quit the video game industry because I was going after it because of the sake of knowing I was called to media. I had to quit that because it wasn't fulfilling that spiritual side of me. And it was very volatile at the time to do what I'm doing now with Christian media and with ministry. But it was hard to know when to throw the towel in or when to quit. But I also had those indicators that we all have in the natural, but I also had spiritual voices around me that were like, yeah, you could only go so far in this, but in this, there's something in your life that would be much bigger.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good. It reminds me, you just quoted a Galatian scripture. Here's another one, Galatians 6:9. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I think this is going to give some people courage.
Yeah.
The proper time's God's time. And so we don't want to force outcomes. We want to try to be faithful. We want to try to hear what God's saying. And, when a guy gets a prophetic word from a little girl at the front of an altar, that is the coolest thing. Or when you surround yourself with advisors who you let them know what the issues are and they speak into your life, that's a really cool thing. And I think trying to do this alone is hard. We mm-hmm. need God in our life, and we need people in our life who can speak into us. And so, that begs the question, Sean, like, how do we get people into our life? How do we find a mentor? How do we have people who can speak into our life? And finding a mentor is simple. It's you're looking around at somebody in your community and you invite them to coffee, and then you pay for their coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Pay for coffee. Yeah, I like that, Bob, because I think, we kept saying before we knew you, because we knew some of our friends had been impacted by you and Lauren. Sheree was going, we need like a Bob Hass in our life. We just need a Bob Hass. We need somebody to come mentor us in some of the processes and organizational challenges we're having, and we're quick growth, but have cash flow issues and the whole thing. We see the Bob. So we prayed and said, God, give us a Bob Hassan. We had no idea he was going to give us the Bob Hassan. But we prayed. But we also, I was open and I was looking at different men in our community that were successful in business and an organization. And I was like, okay, I went out with one of them and like had a good time. He's a lawyer. Had a good time, like really hearing his heart about like organizational structure and how he grew and scaled his business from him just being a lawyer at another practice to having his own practice. And I learned, I put my learner ears on, so right. I listened differently. And I think that that's part of what getting into that state where we're like learning, but we're listening. And that's one of the best ways we can learn is a really cool thing, because a lot of times our business that we're in right now is going to morph two or three times, and sometimes completely change altogether. Maybe we'll start a different business later on if you're an entrepreneur, or maybe you're in a career and you're at your favorite, whatever, hospital you've ever been working at, or your favorite school you've ever been working at. But there's going to be changes in your life. And so to have people in your life that walk with you, like trusted relationships, not just a counselor, not just the senior pastor of a church, which is helpful, but not always productive in the sense of these smaller decisions. Having a community of Christians, I mean, you see sociologically, it's proven through the Barna Group and through Pew Research and all these things. Having a church community, people are way more successful than people who don't have a church community. It's just shown now. It's like marriages are better, families do better, careers do better. Yeah. And so knowing that's the research, maybe we got to get over some of the things that keep us from deeply connecting to a local community and say, I want this to be part of my life too. Because if you're looking at the quitting statistics, they're really high for people who are alone.
Right. And since COVID, there's a lot of people who are a lot isolated and alone who've not gone back to church, who don't have a community, who say things like, hey, I listen to Exploring the Marketplace, or I listen to preaching on podcast. Yeah. And but they're not in a community. You know, part of the reason to go to church on Sunday is to hear preaching, is to hear worship. But a big part of the reason is just to be in community and see other people and not be isolated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one issue that we're facing right now are people that are isolated or alone. And it's hard to find mentors or people to speak into your life if you're not out in a community.
Well, you spend a lot more money and time trying to find those people if you're not in a community. Mm-hmm. It's like more organic when you're in a community. And I think of, you know, on top of that, I think of like a story of a young man who I was friends with back in my 20s. And I felt like God put this in front of me so I'd have a highlight. And there was a man he worked alongside as a contractor who had a major business, and he was looking for kind of a successor for one department. And his guy left. This is a sales job. His guy left, and who was his main guy. And he was looking at my friend. He's like, he only worked with him as a contractor, but he's like, oh man, he'd be perfect. And I remember my friend's like, me and my wife moved here, and we're not finding life. We're not finding community. And I think we're just going to give up. I think we're going to go back to home where we moved from. And we're just going, what if you waited? And I knew the secret that this guy wanted to invite him into like this major role, major kind of great, healthy company. I was like, what if you just waited? I couldn't reveal the secret. What if you just wait? Don't grow weary and doing good for the proper time of bear harvest. He goes, no, we're done. And they left. And within a week, he was scheduled to have that talk with that guy, but he just like self-destructed, you know, and went off. And I saw his life, you know, for years, and he's fine now, but for years he floundered and he kept leaving things too quick. Like right when stuff was hard, he'd leave. And now he's pressed in and he's actually, you know, formed it. But I feel like I look at how God's looking at us and going, I have so much informing for you and in you. And there is a time not to jump ship. There's other times you do, you have to use wisdom. But I think like learning how to persevere, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is perseverance.
Yes.
I mean, this generation just doesn't have a lot of examples of, because you can so easily quit and just get hired somewhere else, or you could so easily start over, or you could do, you know. But there's something about you being in this career this long, that now people who, when they want a painting contractor, they have the history of decades, not just a decade, decades, to where they're like, oh, we should probably go with Hassan. You know, like, it's just, you're just a given because you're an entity, you're a pillar there. You're not just someone who's starting out in the first 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, we've built goodwill over the years. Well, what I want to encourage people with is, if you're staring at a wall right now, persevere.
Yeah.
You might be failing, but you might be forging forward. So try not to bow to panic. Stay faithful, stay clean, and keep moving.
That's so good. Well, that sets us up for Steve Smithwick, who walked this out. He lost a job, and he launched a company after he lost a job. He was facing payroll deadlines and watched God show up again and again in those. And I mean, we got to get into this, because Steve is perfect for this episode or this segment. But Steve Smithwick, again, is the founder and president of Master Wall Incorporated, a company that provides stucco, exterior cladding systems, and coatings nationwide. But Steve's path to entrepreneurship wasn't easy, Bob. He launched Master Wall after being let go from his previous job, stepping out in faith with very minimal resources, with a strong conviction that God had called him to build something new. And through these intense battles and financial hardships and the pressure of making payroll without visible provision, Steve learned to rely on God's voice and timing. So his story, it really is that what we're talking about, perseverance and endurance and divine breakthrough and building a kingdom-centered business from the ground up. So today, Master Wall is not only known just for its products, but for its commitment to integrity and purpose, and has a great company culture. So up next is Steve.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers through Exploring the Marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. We're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
To help us expand our reach, and we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry, but we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bulls team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Steve. Steve, we're so happy to have you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad to dig into your story, because you lost your job before you start your company. And I'm going to find out what that process was, because a lot of people don't go from losing a job into launching a company. They go into losing a job into scrambling around to find more stability, not less stability. I think when I think of starting a company, it's like, oh, that's a lot. So talk to us about this part of your story.
Well, I moved my family from Marietta, Georgia, down to Columbus, Georgia. It's just a little over 100 miles. I had been with a company up there that got bought and sold, and just the transition was pretty stressful. So I decided to make a change. Got answered one P.O. box with a resume, and they ended up hiring me. So moved them down here in 1980. Thought it was a lifelong career. Really enjoyed working for the company I was with. Very generous and good. Got to travel the world, basically, and set up other plants for them and manufacturing facilities, and really enjoyed it. It was such a successful company, though. There was a lot of politics, you might say. Sure. And I stayed a little wary of that. And sure enough, in the end, when I came back from a South Korea trip, I walked into a kind of a setup kind of thing and fell right into it and ended up getting fired. And at the time, I had four children. The youngest one was less than a year old. Mm. They were all under 8 years old. And so I was in shock, to say the least, because it happened fast when I got back from South Korea.
Steve, had you been in the manufacturing business? What was the genesis of starting your new company?
Well, I've been in manufacturing actually since my middle 20s. Mm-hmm. Chemical compounding, things like that. That's why they hired me and brought me down to open the plant in Columbus, because of my background in blending and manufacturing.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of it wasn't easy to start a business, but I certainly had the background to go into the manufacturing part of it, knowing what I was doing there. The big problem was I didn't have any experience in dealing with banks, setting up credit,
sure.
And all those things, dealing with attorneys on a regular basis, all that was new, and it was tough.
So take us there, like on that starting a company, and then to kind of fast forward it some. But I think it's really interesting that you started this, and where was your faith at in that place and that point?
Thank goodness it was strong. So I immediately got very earnest about praying, more so than usual, and my wife also very supportive and had a very good spiritual background at that time. And so we both started praying, and I had a couple of friends that started talking to me that had some assets to work with. One of them had a building, one of them had some office space and things like that. And they encouraged me, since with my background, to jump out and try it. After a lot of prayer and stuff, that's what helped do it.
So you're in the construction materials business. You manufacture IFAS, which is an exterior product, and you have other products too. Why don't you talk to us about how the manufacturing started and how the business, how it started and first customers and that kind of thing.
Okay. Let me go back just a second, because when we decided to incorporate the business and get it started, I went to an attorney that I barely knew, but he incorporated us. And when we went into his office to sign the papers, the last thing he did, he said, "Well, why don't we pray a blessing on your company?" I didn't know Cecil. And so that kind of took me by surprise, but it just kind of confirmed what I thought was supposed to happen, that we were doing the right thing and doing God's plan there. Now, getting started was terrible, because it was a 2-hour drive to my manufacturing facility. And at the time, I was the only employee. And starting in a very, very small manufacturing vessel, let's say, to make product. And so I would drive up every afternoon, work most of the night. And the reason I had to do that, because the guy was using that had the building, he had a crew in there during the day, and I couldn't work. I'd have to work at night when they weren't there.
Oh, wow.
So I'd work most of the night, load up my vehicle with what I'd made, and bring it back to Columbus. That was where my first customers were in Columbus. That's how that got started. Very, very tough. That 2-hour drive 2 times a day was pretty tough.
I can't imagine.
And
I think that's one of the points and one of the things I was excited for you to say, because like when you start out, the level of Bob says that all the time, the level of hard knocks in entrepreneurship. Like if it was easy, everyone would do it, but not everyone does it.
That's right.
And you know, the place in your faith where you felt like God was showing you to do this. Now, fast forward many years, like what did this turn into? Because I know there's ups and downs, but what did this turn into? And what were some of the big challenges that you saw God come through to help overcome?
You know, being an entrepreneur and starting a business, I would compare it to almost like the Christian walk, because, you know, you're doing pretty good, and then Satan throws a roadblock up and knocks you off course and makes it a little harder. Being an entrepreneur is similar in that it seemed like there's a surprise around every corner, particularly early on in starting the business. And you've got to adjust, you know, how do you set up credit and get customers, things like that, with no history of knowing how to do it. Excuse me. I wasn't a sales guy, but I had to learn how to sell.
Yeah.
And, get it started. And that took a lot of prayer, a lot of faith to step out there and do some of those things.
I would assume, Steve, that you have had great people around you, and that those people in sales and lawyers and accountants and advisors that have come around you have been with you for a long time, and that you look back and say, people have really, really helped move the business forward.
I tell you, if God has blessed me with a gift, it's how to know people and getting to know people.
Yeah.
I have surrounded myself with some great people, and I could not have done it without it. It wasn't me, believe me. It was those people that I started picking to fill roles around me. And like I said, God brought a lot of great people into my life at just the right time. I thank him so much for that. Couldn't have done it again without him. So without that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Your new book, Believer Bulldog Coach. I'm going to assume, I haven't asked you this, but I'm going to assume you have a bit of a bulldog in you, and and so talk to us about the title and the book.
Okay, I think you're right. Not only is starting a business, being an entrepreneur, tough, but I was also a high school basketball coach, thus the other term in the title. And
yeah.
High school basketball with young men can be extremely challenging, but I got to tell you, it became a ministry, just like I call Masterwall a ministry. Mm-hmm. God gives you so many opportunities to witness and be examples to young men and people you work around, of course. And the basketball coach thing was really good because there were so many young men that didn't have fathers, or maybe their father was in prison, or mm-hmm. it was just a great opportunity to talk about God and what he can do in people's lives. The bulldog part of it is just, I guess I'm tough. That's all I can say. I seem to people act like I can take almost anything, and I guess I can with God's help. It's just not me, of course, but tenacious and things like that. When I was writing the book and I was talking to people that edit and all, as we were trying to come up with the title, they actually came up with the bulldog part of it after they were reading the story.
Well, take us through some more of the story. So give us a big challenge that the company faced in its first 15 years that you were like, we're not going to overcome this. And then God came through, or only by God did we overcome this.
Well, in the book, I call them near-death experiences. And I'm not talking about my death. I'm talking about the company's death. Over and over, we had some things like some wall quality product problems when we put some of the early product out that started manifesting itself 10 or 15 years down the road. And we had to take care of those issues.
Yeah.
And it was very costly. We went and repaired wall after wall, building after building on out of our pocket. That, you know, we had 9/11. We had the Great Recession that in the construction industry lasted probably 12 years or so.
Wow.
And our industry, actually, it took almost 10, 11 years to get back where they were in 2006 sales wise. That's how bad it was. So, you know, you end up, you tighten your belt, you try to be as efficient as you can, you cut your pay, try to save as many people during that process. Really, really some tough times. Our whole industry had an issue called water intrusion. Mm-hmm. And what happened there was the bigger companies came out better than we smaller companies. We ended up bankrupting a insurance company that was covering us. They could not handle the amount of repairs that were going on in the business.
Wow. So
the Georgia Insurance Commission, they, where we're incorporated, they actually are responsible if that happens to somebody. They jump in and take the insurance policy over. It was so bad for the Georgia Insurance Commissioner, they came in and bought out that policy so they could get out of it. Mm-hmm. So that was truly, we were talking to bankruptcy attorneys, things like that, trying to head off the failure. And we thank the Lord we came out of it without bankruptcy or anything, which was very miraculous. I got to say, looking back, wow, it's amazing.
Well, tell us about this phase of the story right now, like the last couple of years. What's been happening in your business and what have you seen God do?
We have been trying to move our business from the Atlanta area to the Columbus, Georgia area. It's been very hard to do, but he has finally worked that out. This has been almost a 10-year goal, and we recently bought a substantial size building for us, a little over 100,000 square feet.
Wow.
Here in Columbus, have secured that building, and we are starting the moving process right now, and that's been a goal for a long, long time, really over 10 years for that. So that and the opportunity this book has all of a sudden given me, doing these podcasts, I've been to some men's retreats where they've asked me to speak and tell my story, my testimony, and that I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. So that's just been awesome. I am a really blessed guy. And to be able to tell that story, what God's done in my life has been just been great to do, to be able to do.
Awesome.
Well, Steve, I think part of your story that strikes me is when you first started your business, you drove 2 hours to work at night in a building that was occupied by someone else during the day. And today you're buying a 100,000 square foot building and expanding. And I love the tenacity that you have. And the construction business is not easy. And you've brought your ethics and morals into into a business that's not easy. Why don't you talk to our listeners and viewers and give them some words of wisdom as they are starting or in the middle of or trying to figure out what to do in their lives?
You know, you really need to be as sure as you can that it's God's will. I say this all the time. I have it on my desk, and I tell people, then you just never, never, never give up.
Right.
I was under a pastor that just retired a few years ago, and I heard him say that probably over 100 times, working with him doing different things. You just can't give up. You have to have that kind of tenacity. And if you're sure it's God's will, I'm not going to say that should make it easier, but you should have the confidence. Yeah, you're going to have these roadblocks and hiccups and things like that, but builds your faith, makes you stronger when you see God bring you through some of these things. And if it's His will, you just stick with it.
I love that you can say that, you know, that advice, because I was reading in your notes and just, you had to like pay a price for that advice because you actually struggled with a lot of anxiety and worry. And so can you talk about just how did you kind of see a tipping point in that where you went from like, I got to stop worrying, I got to give this to God?
Well, if I worried, I would have not be here today, because there came a point. It was one of those evenings where I said, well, I'm loaded up. I'm headed back to Columbus to see my family, and they're going to be in bed by the time I get home. And it was an emotional, oh my, again, I'm not even going to see my kids today. And, I said, I can't worry. God's going to be in control of these things. And He was, but it was just one of those times where I was walking out to my van. I'll be honest with you, I broke down and cried. I got a 2-hour drive. I've worked 10, 12 hours. And, This is killing me. It's got to get better. And I just had to turn it over to Him. And I'm not a worrier. I don't worry. I think the Bible tells us it's a sin to worry. That's easy to say, isn't it?
Steve, tell us, how do we get a hold of your book so our listeners and viewers can grab it?
It's called Believer Bulldog Coach, and it is through Amazon. I have been fortunate to... It's been called a bestseller now in several different categories. So I'm very proud of how it's gone. There's stories in there of all the near-death experiences. I've named people that were important in the journey. And I've told stories about positives and negatives. And I hope it's encouraging. That's why it was written. You know, you don't really make money doing these things. If it's not going to benefit people, it was useless. So I'm playing it well.
Well, thanks so much, Steve, for being on today. Thanks for just exposing your story as someone who's already, you know, you've gone through the entrepreneurial journey. You're on the other end as far as where a lot of our people are starting who are listening, or a lot of our people are at the beginning, 10 years of their career, and they need the hope that it gets better and that you actually get a level of fulfillment that you don't start with. And that's one of the hard things, is that this generation has a hard time sometimes seeing the big picture, and you're someone who your life shows off the big picture so well. So thank you so much for being here.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, guys. Nice to meet y'all.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com, and even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.